At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
I'm telling you, the Vegas Knights have dominated this game for the last 25 minutes. That's all I know. They've started the overtime, and they had a shot from the slot that was literally 100 miles an hour from 20 feet out and into an open net, and I have no idea. He must have missed the pipe by 1 inch because it was like, I mean, even the announcers stopped breathing. That's how great a shot it was, and they missed by an inch. Vegas literally almost won the game, and then, I mean, Montreal got so lucky. I mean, it looked like it was over right then and there. I went, there you go, game over, and he missed it. He missed it wide. But it was 120 mile an hour. I mean, it was absolute insanity that he missed. I don't know who shot it. That's how fast it happened. I got to look at it again. Because you know what's crazy is they're showing, like, it, you know, did it touch the goalie on the icing and all this other nonsense. Who cares? What they should be showing me right now is this shot that Pietrangelo had. No, it was not Pietrangelo. They won't even show the shot that missed wide. That's how good it was. That they're stupid enough not to show it. I mean, it was literally at the beginning.
I'm probably going to see it in a second.
You're going to see it right now, and they missed a shot from the slot for 100 mile an hour from 20 feet out. And, I mean, he had half the net to put it in because Price was over to his right, and the entire right side of the net was open. He was to his right, so the right side of the net facing the net was wide open, and the guy missed it. He missed it wide. And it was a 100 mile an hour cranker. With nothing stopping it. No one blocked it, nothing. It was a clean look at the net, and he missed it. And, I mean, now they got a chance to win it. Oh, my God, Pietrangelo was all alone on the doorstep with nobody in front of him except Carey Price, and Price made the save. The former capitan of the Canadiens just missed a chance to win the game all alone on the doorstep. Price stoned him and ate up the rebound. Oh, my God, the backhand pass to Pietrangelo with a snapshot, and Price read it and made the save. That's two chances in overtime, two gigantic chances in overtime. Another chance saved by Price from the left point should have gone in. That's three chances. Now Montreal, they win it at the Canadians have eliminated the Vegas Golden Knights, and they're partying on the streets of Montreal.
Oh,
the Canadians have done it. They've won. They're 5-1 in the extra session in the playoffs, and they eliminate the heavily favored Vegas Golden Knights. They got a chance at the other end after three scoring chances by Vegas. Pietrangelo. And then also the shot from the slot.
Oh,
and then
man.
The great chance by Pacioretty. And he couldn't put it past Price. They go to the other end. And they get the gaming winner on a snapper from the left circle. It's over in Montreal. And the Canadiens are going to the Stanley Cup final. What a play. The shot from Martinez from the point for Vegas hit Price in the shoulder and came out. And they skated to the other end. And then coming in, I mean, that is unbelievable. Lehkonen had the winner. Arturi Lehkonen with the winner from Dano. And it was a beautiful backhand pass from Dano over to the circle. And Lehkonen burned Leonard. Game over. Series over. Vegas again. The late season exit from the Stanley Cup playoffs. Are they jinxed forever because they never get it done? We'd like to welcome our radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 204, our satellite partners. And Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana, do you wanna? Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on the bench on a late night Thursday night as the Canadians just won in overtime. Lekkonen from the left circle on a pass from Dano and a one-timer, and he burned Leonard up top. It's over. The Canadians eliminate Vegas. And Pharrell with another double cover on the money line and the 1.5 puck line cover. All I do is make people money. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Quote, hide the money from your wife. End quote. Shake out. Ooh. They're shaking hands in the line. I don't need to see that. Screw it. They keep showing Pacioretty shaking everybody's hand like he's some kind of institution or something in Montreal. They don't give a rat's ass about him anymore. They boot his ass the entire series. But he had a chance to win the game, Carver High, on the doorstep and missed it.
He certainly did. Pacioretty had a golden opportunity. It was the second out of the two or three, or maybe even the third of two or three golden opportunities that Vegas had. Wow. The Montreal
Canadiens. And then Fleury just shook Price's hand and said,
"Unreal.
You're incredible." Bergevin, the GM, is out there hugging players on the ice. Leonard's talking to Price now. Price is just one of the greatest goalies I've ever seen. I mean, he's just unbelievable. And don't tell me they don't have a chance to win the Stanley Cup, because that guy means business. All right, now we can focus on this Phoenix and Clipper game. Throw on a bench with you, and Lekkonen's goal from Dano was beautiful. Dano, like kind of a mini two-on-one break. Vegas was all over it defensively. Somehow he backhand flicked it over to the left circle, and Lekkonen snapped it past Leonard for the game winner, and it's lights out for Vegas again. I mean, it's a perpetual late season devastating losses. Stanley Cup Finals, Carver High.
This is, of course, their fourth season in the NHL. They lost in the Stanley Cup Finals. They lost that brutal first round to the Sharks in seven games when they had the 3-1 lead. And now this is the second year in a row they've lost in the Western Conference Finals. They lost to Dallas last year. They lose to Montreal this year.
Okay, so the other one was what round? First round with the Sharks?
That was the first round, but they had a 3-1 lead in the series. That was the one with the right. 5-minute major in the seventh game where that awful call.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
But my point is that those season-ending losses in the Cup Final, then the Sharks, then Dallas, now this. I mean, they're starting to get quite the history of losing big-time late playoff season. I mean, just brutal losses. This thing with Montreal, I don't know if they'll ever live it down. I mean, they got their ass beat in this series. I don't care what anybody says. They got their ass beat by Carey Price. Anyway, we've got Ozzie the Sports Junkie from JoeBuckFan.com down in Tampa. One of our great friends on the show, Shabin, as I like to call him, is joining us for a roller coaster ride now. Probably for the rest of the hour. That's my guess, because he's insane. And we want to talk to him from his perspective going into Game 7 tomorrow night at Amalie in Tampa, the Islanders and Lightning for all the marbles. Now you know who you face. Montreal's in the finals again for the first time since winning it in 93. And they're going to be road dogs. They'll play no matter what, Tampa or the Islanders. Either one of them gets home ice in the Stanley Cup Finals, whoever wins the game tomorrow night. How you holding up there, Shabin?
Holding up good down here. What do you say? My man, Pharrell, you're killing it, buddy. And a big props to Carver. He's getting more FaceTime. I mean, I see him more on TV than anybody. So Carver's just killing it as well, doing a great job, man.
So Carver High was at the Islander game last night, hammered drunk, wearing his orange sport coat right on the glass, right on the glass where Coleman turned the puck over and Bevilier scored the winner. And he got plucked a few times with beer cans from above at the old barn, was rocking. It was so loud. When King called the game winner on the radio, it was so loud you couldn't even hear the guy call the goal. I mean, you couldn't even hear him. I mean, at all. Like, he scored the goal, and you heard nothing but cheering and roaring, raucous fans. And then they started whipping beer cans at everybody, which was insanity. What did you think of the game?
Nice. Well, it was what we didn't see that kind of got the ire of the Lightning fans. We didn't see a call as one of the felonious Islanders just got a blatant hook on Kucherov, which was not called, knocked him out of the game. Also, Stamkos went down with a hook. Killorn was tripped up in a possible goal-scoring opportunity. So the refs, they just kind of kept their whistles in their pockets for the Islanders last night. So three calls right there. We'll hope that that Kucherov is back. He'll be back tomorrow night. They need him. Stamkos was getting hot there, the two goals the other night. The good news is this, Pharrell. They know how to win cups. You told me a long time ago when your Penguins started winning cups, the teams that win know when to turn it on. And I think Cooper, if the guy ever sweats, I've never seen it. If the guy ever folds under pressure, I've never seen it, man. The guy is cool as a cucumber. The Lightning, after a loss, are 5-0 this postseason. If you go back to 2018, they're 13-0 following a loss. It'll be rocking in Tampa. There'll be 20,000 inside, 40,000 outside, raging and getting ready for Montreal. And it ought to be a wild one. It ought to be a wild one. And my question is this. You know this more than I do. What's the status of Montreal? No fans there? Or what's the deal going to be? How's that going to work?
Well, they have fans. What they do is the very lower bowl is sealed off with sheets on the seats. So they just have advertising there.
Sure.
And then, you know, if you go up Carver High into the second tier and upper deck, so you're talking lower bowl is closed. Middle of the arena up is all full. Upper deck is full. So, you know, they got half the crowd is normal, but it's still rowdy there. It's not like Tampa, and it's definitely not like the Coliseum. The Coliseum,
I don't
actually
understand
makes
it.
You,
there's like 400 people in Canada. What the hell's the problem with getting them all vaccinated? Are they so
well,
spread out that nobody wants to?
Like,
they don't have any trucks.
It's so backward ass there. Listen to me. It's so backward ass there that I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about why none of those people have their shots. I want to talk about reality. I don't even care that they only have half the crowd. No one cares. And no one cares that they don't have shots. I mean, how backward-assed are you? What kind of a leader doesn't get all these people shots? They should fire that guy or vote him out tomorrow, Trudeau. He's a joke. Anyway, here's the deal. So my point is this. I think the Coliseum, I'm going to just say this to you so we're clear here. I have no bones in this whatsoever. I think the Coliseum makes your crowd look embarrassing. You guys are a bunch of blue-haired old, like, wussies compared to that drunken scene in Nassau Coliseum. The Long Island crowd is the rowdiest crowd, bar none, in the NHL. What?
They've had a team for 50 years. We've had a team for 25.
Well, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I'm talking about you're in this. You won the Stanley Cup. You're the champs.
Right.
It's a sold-out arena. I think it's a great crowd. I don't deny that it's a good crowd, but it's not the crowd that you saw last night. And this isn't about the crowds. Let's talk about reality. The calls that you're talking about, fair enough. The one that I was surprised wasn't called, and I said this last night on the show, was the Stamkos getting his head driven into the plexiglass and the wood where the glass meets
sure.
the wood partition, when he got his nose smashed in and his nose was gushing blood. I don't think Carver High – let's ask Carver High. I don't remember ever in the NHL ever in the last 10 years where a guy gets hit from behind into the glass, into the wood partition ever, and they bleed, and they don't get at least 4 minutes. You tell me when you've ever seen that before in your life, where a guy gets his face smashed in, no matter what, no matter where it is, no matter when it is, no matter who it is, and he's a superstar, and he got his face smashed in, and he was gushing blood, and there was no call. Now, the reason there was no call, I believe, is because I think it happened after the period actually ended, not before it ended. And they missed that. Either way, Carver High, what did you see in that Stamkos bleeding and nothing was called?
Yeah, I think you might be right on it happening after things were over. I think that that's kind of where it all happened from. There was a lot of things that weren't called last night. And this isn't just last night. This is the entire NHL playoffs. They've done a really tough job. But I think you're right. That instance was most likely, it was just after the time. Because from where I was, I didn't have a good look at that Stamkos one.
Sean, did you think that when Stamkos was bleeding that there should have been a double minor for blood? I only got 20 seconds.
We'll break.
We'll keep the conversation going. I got 20 seconds, though.
Absolutely. And if you take it back two games with the cross-check that laid out, I can't remember exactly who it was, and he went down like a pile of pile of bricks, and there was just a 3-minute no game misconduct anything. So, I mean, it's nice to see the refs getting out of the way, let them play, but you can't miss blatant calls like that.
All right, we'll come back with Ozzy the Sports Junkie on the bench. All right, four-time world champ Tank Davis, Gervonta Tank Davis, going another level, trying for a third weight class, going up to win another title. This guy's won four already. He's facing undefeated WBA super lightweight champ Mario El Azteca Barrios on Saturday night in Atlanta at the State Farm Arena, a.k.a. The Hub. This Saturday night on Showtime pay-per-view starts at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Of course, Davis, 24-0, 23 knockouts. His last fight, he knocked out four division champ Leo Santa Cruz in the sixth round. I mean, boom, lights out, you lose. And then this guy, Barrios, no joke, he got his title by a knockdown in the 12th round in his fight against Akhmadov in September of 2019, winning the decision, winning the belt. He's undefeated with 17 knockouts, 5.5 inches taller than Davis. They're fighting Saturday night. Call your cable operator, order the fight on pay-per-view, or go to Showtime.com. Tank Davis and El Azteca. All right, we're talking to Ozzy the Sports Junkie in Tampa. And I wanted to preface this by saying, because I know Carver High. I've been with Carver High forever. He's very angry that it's like his golf bets. If Patrick Cantlay doesn't win in, like, the three ball, for Carver High, he's immediately crossed off the list for permanent residency. He loses his visa. He loses his residency. He is homeless. The minute a guy lets Carver High down in a betting circumstance, he's forever written off. Is this true, Carver High?
1,000% true.
Okay.
No doubt.
Same thing with hockey. When the Penguins play the Islanders, Carver High won't even talk to me. He hates me dead. Now we have a situation where Shabin, a.k.a. Ozzy the Sports Junkie, starts talking about a few calls that might have been missed in the game last night, and I can confirm, I just had my radar go off, my alarm go off. It's the Carver High alarm that he's now very close to being written off by Carver High for even suggesting that this game was not called properly by the refs and that the reason they lost was because of the refs. Because now Carver High will turn on Shabin, which we don't want to happen because they've always been friends. They've always gotten along. But now I'm sensing that because Game 7's tomorrow, Carver High is starting to not like Ozzy very much tonight.
Well,
I heard him. Like, I heard him say, oh, here we go. Here we go. So it's real close. We're teetering on the brink of friendship ending here. So I don't want that to happen. So
we can't have this.
We can't have it. We cannot have this.
I even started the show with a little rear end kissing. How's Grady's do it on Sports Grid. Please don't hold it against me.
Now listen.
I like the Islanders. They're a fine organization. I married a girl from Long Island, for Christ's sake.
That's true. All right, so let me ask you this question, Shabin. Now, I'm going to say this because I have no bones in this. I am objective as all hell. And Carver, I know, I picked the Islanders over the Penguins. I picked the Islanders over the Bruins. True. And I actually had the stones to pick the Islanders over the Stanley Cup champion Lightning. I picked the Islanders to win last night. I have been hitting every hockey game on the face of the earth. Carver High is my witness. I hit the Canadiens the other night. I hit them tonight. I'm hitting everything. But I'm telling you, I have no bones in this. But I will say this to you. I do not believe for 1 minute that this series has been decided by refs. I do not believe it has been called poorly. And I don't believe there's any argument from Tampa or the Islanders that it's about the refs. This has been about two great teams going full tilt, head to head, butting heads, going up and down the ice for 60 minutes every night, overtime, whatever. They have busted their asses every night, and the Islanders were down 2-0. You had to win that game up 2-0, 10 minutes left in the second. You didn't get it done. And you have the best goalie in the league, and he didn't get it done. This is not about the refs. This is about a miraculous goal by Mayfield, who never scores, and then an overtime turnover and goal by Bevilier, and they got it done, and everybody was drinking beers and having sex in the parking lot. So this is not about the refs. This is really not. If it was, I'd tell you. But now, tomorrow night, for all the marbles, I don't think it's going to be about the refs. I think it's going to be about the same thing as last night. Who's going to make the mistake, Shabbin? Ozzy, tell me. They beat them 8-0 in game 5. Do you think that Tampa's going to be able to handle their business in a game 7 and not mess around? You were up 2-0 the other night, last night, and you didn't get it done. And they had outscored the Islanders 12 straight goals until that goal by Eberle.
Sure.
And so are they going to choke tomorrow
first,
night? It's the bottom line.
No, they're not. Bottom line, the Lightning will get it done. And if I misrepresented myself, I just made a comment about last night's game. Other than that, I've had no problem at all with the officiating at all through the series. These are two good teams. I mean, the Islanders are a great team. They're on the way up. And a year from now, they might just steamroll over this Lightning team. But I just think the Lightning are more talented. I think they got a better goalie today, tomorrow. And I think they're a team of destiny this year. I think they're the best team in hockey, Pharrell. And I'm not trying to be a homer. I think they have the most talent on the ice, and it'll show tomorrow night. They're 13-0 off a loss. They do tend to sleep a little bit, but Cooper's a sly, sly, weird dude, and he's got some kind of mental control. And these guys know how to win a cup. You told me that 20 years ago. When a team knows how to win a cup, they know when to step on the gas. And this team knows when crunch time hits. They know when to score goals. And you're right. It a simple mistake could screw the whole thing up. But 13 straight times after a loss, this team's won. So I'll take my chances tomorrow night at home. I'll be outside of the arena, and I'll have all kinds of shenanigans going on. So if you're in the area, there's no tickets available, but you can hang out with me.
Listen, I want to say one other thing. 34C, she doesn't watch sports. But she has watched the last couple games. She saw the 8-0 game, and she was like, what is happening here? This team's unbelievable. And then she watched as they were up 2-0, blow it, and she saw the Islanders win the game, and she's like, that's a great team too. Then she said something to me very interesting, and I think this predicates who's going to win the cup or the series. She said to me last night, she walked right up to me and said, the one coach is really fat and ugly, and the other coach I'd sleep with. She goes, I'd do him. So I'm thinking that Tampa might have an edge, because she did tell me last night that she'd sleep with John Cooper, but she thought that Barry Trotz was fat and ugly. I can't believe I get no reaction from that.
Game 7 at home.
Great.
That was a great comment. I don't know if I'd go so far to sleep with Cooper, but perhaps after, if he wins another cup, all bets are off. But their last loss.
He makes a lot of money. He makes a lot of money. He's famous. Everybody, he's on national television. He's wears nice Gucci suits. He looks pretty clean cut and handsome. And then Trotz is screaming at on the camera with his face mask on, and he's turning purple, and he weighs like 300 pounds. She's like, that guy's fat and ugly. And the other one, she goes, he's doable. I could live with that. I could sleep with him. So I think that might have been like the, you know, when they sent the bulldog out to pick which bone he's going to eat. Is he going to beat the Tampa bone or the Islander bone? He pick, you know, if he picks the Tampa bone, then the, you know, everybody thinks that the you know, the Lightning are going to win because the dog picked the bone on that side. That's kind of what we're dealing with here with 34C picking Cooper over Trotz. But let me ask you, do you know, and first of all, you should call the show tomorrow night again, at like during and after the game, to react to being out there at the arena at Amalie and being at that game seven. You should call in tomorrow night on the bench again. But let me ask you, do you know for a fact what happened to Kucherov and will he play? You're saying earlier he'll play, but what happened? Like, do you know what the injury is and is he going to play? Do you know that for a fact?
It's a rib injury. It's a rib injury. He did not skate today. The Lightning team did not practice today. So he's listed as a starter as of right now. He took a good shot earlier in the playoffs and came back the next day. You know, he didn't play all season for all. His first playoff game, he scored two goals. So he hit the ground running. But this is a key cog. And I got a question to ask you, Mr. NHL expert. Is Steven Stamkos, because from where I'm sitting, he's like the fifth highest player. He used to be the third highest player in the game. And there was all kinds of speculation to the Lightning. Sign him, did they trade him, did they do what with him? To me, he's a bit of an underachiever. He's a glass doll. Shouldn't the fifth highest paid player in the NHL be the leading scorer in the playoffs for L?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I think that he should be a good player every night, and I think he has been, and he scored some wicked goals. He had a pair of goals the other night. All I know is if that's not good enough for you, I don't know what it is. I understand contracts and money are get people all worked up, but I'll say this, and I'll ask Carver Hyde this question. I think, you know, the mistake the Penguins have made, I believe, is keeping Malkin too long. And now he's starting to have knee surgeries, and he's slowed down a great deal. You saw him against the Islanders, Carver High, on a breakaway with two guys behind him. They were literally from blue line to blue line behind him, and they caught him from behind the Islanders. I believe they should have traded him already, and they would have gotten a nice haul for him. And now, I believe by not trading him, he's untradeable. No one wants him now. He's damaged goods. I think that the Lightning should trade Stamkos now to build on Braden Point and the rest of them and make the team better moving forward. Because if they win it again, let's say they win the Cup again, that's two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. They can't stay the same. I would trade Stamkos and get a haul for him. We'll ask Carver Hyatt's reaction and Ozzie's when we come back. All right, so we're talking to Ozzie, the sports junkie from JoeBuckFan.com. And he's down in Tampa getting ready for Game 7 tomorrow night at Amalie between the Lightning, the defending Stanley Cup champs. They're brutally tough against the upstart Islanders who took them to 6 last year in the conference finals. They got them again this time to 7. We'll see what happens. So, Carver High, first I ask you, do you think I'm crazy that after this season ends, win or lose, let's say they win it, they go defend it against Montreal and win the Cup again and go back-to-back, would you trade Stamkos to get a haul now or never? Because you keep him another year or two and nobody's going to want him.
I would do it, but I don't think that they will. But I would do it, yes. Is it something that they would do if they finish this off and win 2 Cups? Absolutely not. They would never do it, but I think it's something that they should do, yes.
And what about you, Ozzie? What do you think they should do with him?
Well, I don't understand. You're kind of contradicting yourself because you say he's a great player. I kind of said he's a bit of an underachiever, but nobody wants him because he's damaged good, which is it? I mean, I would have traded him about 5 years ago before they gave him this gigantic deal. He's had really one great season. Other than that, I know you can't help injuries. You can't help he broke his leg. He's had some freak injuries. But I just expect a little more out of the guy. That's all. He's a great kid. He's a great player. He's a boy wonder. He was supposed to be the next Gretzky. That's a little bit of heavy anticipation to put on somebody's career. But I don't know if anybody would take him in that big contract, would they?
Well, I'm just telling you that, like, he's got his snipe ability and his shooting is still – top shelf. I mean, he's...
Oh, he's an assassin.
He's an elite sniper that has massive skill, and I can guarantee you that you might be right that he's, you know, I don't know, underachieved. Fair enough. You can call it whatever you want. He's got a ring, and he's got a lot of goals in the NHL, and I guarantee you, and Carver High would back me up on this, there's a lot of teams that would want Steven Stamkos right now, and the longer you keep him, I'm telling you, I already gave you the example. Malkin used to be as good as Stamkos. He's got three Stanley Cups, and he was Crosby and Malkin were unstoppable. But now it's painfully obvious that Crosby's the only one that still gets it done. Malkin sat the whole season. Now he's got injuries, knee surgeries, everything else. He's slowed down, and they couldn't trade him if they tried. They already had their window. I'm telling you, the same thing's going to happen to Stamkos. Carver, you know what I'm saying. I mean, honestly.
No, I agree with you. I think you're right. Sometimes you hang on for a guy for so long, and he's been so injury prone for so many years. I mean, they won the cup without him last year. I mean, he wasn't part of that. He wasn't part of winning that cup in the bubble. He came out for the one game
and scored.
Yeah. He came out for the one game and scored, Ozzie, but other than that, he wasn't part of the run.
He did. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this is a gigantic problem. I just wanted your opinion on a national level of what the national media thinks of a guy who makes that kind of money. It's not a bad problem having a guy. And you're right, Pharrell. The dude is an assassin. He's got a shot that just, I mean, it's crazy. Crazy action on the shot. Just a blistering shot. When he's 100%, he's as good as anybody in the league. And he's the last. He's not a problem. I was just curious as your opinion.
Well,
I will take a little offense that the whole stadium is full of blue hairs. Come on now. This isn't the 76 Buccaneers with everybody's grandmother wearing creamsicle shirts and matching hats.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. Get out of here with that nonsense.
Ozzie got mad at me today. Ozzie got
mad at me today, Scotty. Like Carver and I talked earlier. He goes, it's time for you to put – you guys are winning too much down there. I said, we sucked for 40 years. Give us a break, man. You won 12 up.
Listen, here's the analogy. Carver High. Carver High, you be the judge. All right, so last night – or the last three nights in San Diego, the Dodgers played the Padres, and for three nights – I mean, there was at least 35 times I would have left my wife and children for a smoke show, like bikini-clad surfer girls at the Padre game. Like, it was outrageous. The recruiting was on an all-time high. And when I'm watching 3 days, and I would have left my family 35 times, at least 35 times. Now, I have watched every Lightning game for 2 years, and I've yet to go on the air after a game and say to Carver High on Coast to Coast or on the bench, say, hey, you know, man, there was some talent at that Lightning game last night. I honestly, there were like 15 chicks I wanted to sleep with. I've never said it once, so trust me. Carver High, you know it's true. We're always recruiting, and I've never seen anything yet in Tampa that I've seen in San Diego or L.A. and even Phoenix. I mean, Tampa's not even on the short list, Carver High. Tell him.
It's been bad.
We lead the world, and maybe all the hotties are in there. Believe me, I've been in the club level. It's like a Hustler magazine open house. Believe me.
Hey.
Smoke show. The gas fest.
Oh, slow down. We're on a family network. All right, so let me ask you. So I already think the team is about Braden Point and Kucherov and Vasilevsky and Sergachev and you know, I think some of those other guys, believe it or not, Killorn, Maroon, they're old. I mean, Palat, I still think, is a huge piece. But they're going to have – and Killian, I like – whatever his name is, Cirelli. I think that's the bulk of their franchise. I would consider listening to offers for Stamkos if they were smart, because they could get a boatload of picks or a couple more players that are younger than Maroon, Killorn, etc. To, you know, once you've won two cups, everyone's going to say it's over. The run will be over. They're not going to win three in a row. They're not the Islanders of the 80s. So how do you get them back to the top and stay there? I think that's how you do it. You move that piece. Let me ask you about the piece being Stamkos. I would ask you this now. Tell me about Tom Brady and the Bucks defending their Super Bowl crown in Tampa in the upcoming season. Are you stoked?
I'm stoked. The Buck Nation is stoked. Let me tell you something. The Buccaneers hadn't sold out a season, Pharrell, since the season after 2003 when they won the Super Bowl. The tickets went on sale last Wednesday. Sold out in 3 hours. Every game, every ticket, and that's full capacity. What this guy has done in one season to turn around a laughingstock, and let's face it, sure, they had a great run with Dungy. They won a Super Bowl with Gruden. The last 12 to 15 years, they've gone right into the ground. Winston was an unmitigated disaster. And Brady comes into town with, you know, guarded expectations. I didn't think he was going to hit the ground running like it was 10 years ago. And he got off to a slow start. The crazy thing is this, Pharrell, with no training camp, basically, no preseason games, he was learning his way through. They did not look like a Super Bowl champion, even at halfway through the season. The final four games, they started to really come together. The first playoff game, they barely beat a Washington team with a backup that I still have no idea who it was. It wasn't until they went to New Orleans and the defense stepped up, because the pass defense was just garbage all season. When the pass defense stepped up, it allowed the front three to get after the quarterback. And the weapons on offense is just ridiculous. And this year they get O.J. Howard back. Brady needed a pass-catching running back. They go out and get Bernard from the Bengals. I mean, it's just an embarrassment of riches on offense. And I think the only thing that can stop him is injury. I truly think that. And it's a crazy thing. Who'd have ever thought? You know, they threw that around that Brady might maybe go back to the West Coast to finish his career. And everybody thought, no, he's going to be a Patriot for life. Not only is he playing, I mean, he's playing at a high level. It's really unlike, as a Buccaneer fan and right here in Buccaneer Central Nation, you just have to stop and enjoy it. It might end tomorrow. It might go all season. Who knows how long the guy can go? It's really never happened before. So it's kind of just wait and see and expect the best when it comes to Brady. The guy's on another planet, man. I've never seen anything like it in any sport. Have you?
I mean, it's insanity. It's utter insanity what this guy's done in his career. By the way, your Cubs are up after five innings at Chavez Ravine over the Dodgers, 1-0. But what do you think of Wander Franco's debut down in Tampa?
He should be drawn and quartered right outside of Wrigley Field. Makes me sick. Len Casper, the worst ever. Carver and Mafia should do Cubs baseball. With Pharrell on the seventh inning stretch. Let me hear you. The Carvers are here from Long Island.
All right. Hey.
No, I love my Cubs. I'm taking my daughter for her first ever trip to Wrigley this summer. It ought to be fun. Plus, I'm going to go out to Vegas and hang out with you one of these days. One of your 5,800 trips every year.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm going
just
for
make
the.
Make fun of me and just berate me the entire time. Dude,
I'm going to see the Fury Wilder 3. Then I'm going to Spence Pacquiao in August, and then in September I'm going to Canelo fight. So, and I think we all know who he's going to fight next. It'll be Sweet Hands, your boy Caleb Plant. But we'll see. All I know is I'll be out there a lot in July, August, and September in Vegas. So just thinking ahead. All right, Ozzy, great stuff tonight. I got to run. I got to talk about the Suns losing to the Clippers. I bet on the Clippers tonight to win outright and getting 1.5, hit the spread, hit the money line, hit it all. Good luck tomorrow night, Shabin, with the Lightning against Carver High's Islanders in Game 7.
I'll be reporting live from the game. You got it, brother.
All right, keep the number, right? You know the number to call in, or how does it work? Do we call him Carver High? Or? All right, we'll get you on tomorrow night after the game, all right?
Pharrell, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I said I'll get you on tomorrow night.
Okay, I just told you. I got you fresh bumps coming up. I recorded you a bunch of guitar riffs just for your show.
Okay.
Beauty free.
All right, that's great. All right, Shabin and his heavy metal band. He's going to send us some music. Finally, we'll have some music on the show, Carver High. All right, thanks a lot, Shabin. There he is, Ozzy the Sports Junkie in Tampa tonight, and we'll talk to him again tomorrow night after Game 7. Just a note, the Clippers kicked the Suns' ass tonight, 106-92 in Game 3 in Lipstick City, and it was all on. Your boy PG had 27, Reggie Jackson had 23, Zubats 15 and 16 boards, the double-double. George also with 15 rebounds and 8 dimes, almost the triple-double. And then Terrence Mann, 12, 5, and 2. Morris had 8. They shot 45% from the floor, 35% from 3. Meanwhile, rough shooting night for the Suns, 38% from the floor, 31% from downtown, only 15% for D-Book. The leading scorer was Ayton with 18 and 9 boards. CP3 had 15 points, 12 dimes, but he was 5 of 19 from the floor, 2 of 7 from downtown. The guy that went off the most, Paul George, after everybody blamed him for missing the free throws in Game 2, where they should have won, should have, could have, would have, but didn't. He came back tonight strong again, just like I told you he would, Carver High on Coast to Coast today, when I said everybody and their brothers on the Suns to sweep or to win Game 3 because CP3 was back. I said it doesn't even matter that he's back. He's a great player. He'll have a great game, and they'll still lose to the Clippers. Sure enough, Clippers win it easily, blowing out the Suns tonight in LA, 106-92. I mean, that's a blowout. All right, don't forget Saturday night on Showtime. I know Carver High is excited. He told me that he's going to order the fight. Gervonta Tank Davis against WBA super lightweight champion Mario L.S. Tanka Barrios. He's 5.5 inches taller than Tank Davis. But you know what Tank Davis does to guys that are bigger than him? He knocks them the F out. He's had 24 fights, 23 knockouts. I mean, it's no joke. You know, you hear all the time these guys' record. They got all these knockouts. Everybody's always knocking everybody out. No, they aren't. The reality is, this dude knocks people out. He knocks them out. He doesn't have, like, TKOs, none of this throw-in-the-towel stuff or the ref stopped the fight or anything. This guy puts people to sleep. I mean, he's starting to remind me, he's not Mike Tyson's size, but he is in terms of knockouts. This guy goes out and knocks people out. He destroyed Leo Santa Cruz. Now he's taking on this big dude, Barrios. Barrios is like, he's never dealt with anybody my size or as strong as me. It don't matter who he goes up against. You think you're a badass until that guy knocks you the F out. Order it on Showtime Pay-Per-View, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. It's a Mayweather promotion fight with GTD and TGB promotions. Ticketmaster has tickets still. Atlanta, State Farm Arena, Saturday night, this Saturday, the 26th on Showtime. It's Tank Davis, Gervonta Davis against Mario Barrios. There you go. How about this? I just saw Walker Buehler get lit up for a home run. And the Cubbies, Wilson Contreras, a two-run shot. It's 3-0 Cubbies over the Dodgers. Buehler was 7-0 going into this game, having his problems tonight, Carver High. Not going to happen. Tomorrow night, Game 7, Islanders and Lightning should be awesome. And Bucks, Hawks, Game 2. Tons of baseball. By the way, they're sold out at Chavez Ravine tonight. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid. Good night, everybody.